Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Knight Rider. A shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Michael Knight, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in the world of criminals who operate above the law.
Welcome to Beyond the Night, brought to you by the GCRN and Audible.com. I am one of your hosts, Steve Joe and Mike. Joining me is Dion the Music Man. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not so much. This is the first time and the only time to this point in the podcast lifespan that we will only be talking about two episodes of Knight Rider Classic Season 4 this week. The reason why this was done this way is because I wanted to be able to work out the schedule to allow us at the end of the when we get to the end of the podcast, when we get to episode 55 or 56 or whatever else, it would allow us to do some sort of top lists. So, like, say episode 57 is top 10 favorite Knight Rider classic episodes. Episode 58 is top 10 favorite Knight Rider 2008 episodes. Episode 59 is, I don't know, top 10 favorite kit
moments,
gadgets. Well, gadgets are, well, no, moments are taken care of by the, like, powers and abilities more so,
right?
Because the moments and stuff with kit are taken care of in the season recaps. Notice I didn't say top 10 favorite team Knight Rider, because, well, first of all, there's only 13 episodes of that goddamn show, and secondly, it sucks. But no, this is, so far, this is probably the only podcast episode where we only review two of television episodes. So, Kit, hit that turbo boost button, and we'll get into it after this.
Kit Henderson's dead. I got someone going down the back stairs.
One second he was on my scanner, the next he was gone.
Austin believes he's a true sorcerer.
He's coming at us head on.
Michael, he was in a straitjacket inside a sealed bag and then in chains.
Where's Devin? Where is he?
He's inside the tank. Dying.
First up today is Deadly Nightshade. Michael suspects a magician of two murders, but the man has a perfect alibi. He was on stage performing at the time. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, boy. Well, I will say this is better than being hurt in the owl from last week. Out of the woods. Oh, my God. Because, I don't know, at first I wasn't sure if I was going to like this episode, and then it kind of really got good after a while. Oh God. The funny thing about this episode is I don't know why. Every time I saw the magician dude, I kept waiting for him to show up in a gorilla suit. I kept flashing to Halloween night.
You did too. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Templeton.
Yes, Templeton Peck. Oh wait, that's the other 80s.
Wrong thing.
Yeah. Good old face man. that was his name in the show.
I know.
But I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really cool. The plot was well carried out, and you would think, you think about it, a magician would be a perfect cover for a master assassin. So very, very awesome. Any thoughts on the plot?
Well, it's like, it's well carried out. It was well written. Kept you on the edge of your seat. But do you notice it actually had to deal with a lot of people, that Devin knew?
Yeah.
It actually, so it almost seemed like we were kind of diving once again into Devin's personal life a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome. It was a damn good episode, and it's kind of a nice break, because if you look at the last couple of episodes, Scent of Roses, Killer Kit, both focus on Michael.
Right.
Out of the Woods is basically a one-off that it's, Villain of the Week. And then here we have something that, pays a little bit more attention to Devin.
Right.
Devin and Bonnie both, because Bonnie ends up having a crush on the dumb fool.
Meeting him by playing tennis.
Yeah.
Hello, Serena Williams joke. Just saying.
That's not a Uranus I want to see.
And I'm walking away from that.
Let's get to the scanner.
Well, hello there.
Creep!
Please, it's Kit.
Gone again. What is the matter with you? Are you afraid to face me or something?
On the contrary, I'm always delighted to take in your ample personality.
What's the big idea taking off like that?
I had other priorities.
Like your wife?
I'm not married.
Oh, maybe a girlfriend?
No, I don't have one of those either.
Did you say you're not married?
That's right.
Oh, why not?
You might say I haven't yet met my match.
Oh, well, what kind of match are you looking for?
Oh, something very stylish, preferably in red, loaded with sophisticated software, total artificial intelligence, fully padded seat, removable top, with an adaptive megabyte system that can interface for hours.
You animal!
All right, we've got the scanners on. How about a phone number? It's on my license plate. Oh, yeah. This is basically...
The Ditzy Blonde, only worse, from Season 1, Episode 13.
No. This blonde is much better. This blonde is much better than Mickey.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Because this blonde is more of a sass and not a whiny bitch like Mickey was.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah.
And I love, and it will be in the audio, I love Kit's description of his mate. At the end of it, he's like, what did I say? There's so many double entendres with what he's saying. What he's describing. I've never really been one to like a lot of magic stuff. Like, it's never really amazed me that much. And the whole time I was watching this was a Jeff Dunham bit. When one of his puppets goes, Peanut goes, they brought a bunch of deaf people to see the ventriloquist. That's like taking a bunch of blind people to see David Copperfield. The elephant disappeared. It just fucking disappeared.
I remember that. Oh my god. That was great.
About this one.
Okay. I now that I think about it, she's not like Mickey. Thank God, because
yeah,
the plot was well carried out. There were a lot of twists and turns.
Oh yeah,
a whole lot of twists and turns.
But I'm actually surprised that they didn't hear Michael come up from the caverns, like Bonnie and Templeton. Yeah, I'm really surprised that they didn't hear him come up that way. But
I think it was kind of they wanted him to sneak around to kind of see what they could see or see what he could see, and then when he heard Bonnie laughing,
yeah. But like that whole time that he's climbing up the ladder, he's opening the hatch. They don't even hear it. They don't even see it. You know, you would think that after he closes it, you know, they would have heard or seen something before he actually opens his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else did you like?
The fact that the fact that Templeton says, you know, being in two places at one time has eluded me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other fact that, you know, he's sitting there, you know, Michael's talking to the older gentleman, Nancy's dad.
Yeah.
And he's wanting to know how Templeton's tricks are done.
Right.
And he's like, I can't tell you that. You know, like all people who have sold their souls to the devil. Austin believes he's a true sorcerer, and in order to catch him you'll have to catch him in the act, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was pretty good. Here's something that, and I'm borrowing this from your book, so to speak, but it's logic. How in the hell does Dr. Browning, I think that's the guy's name.
Yeah.
Go in and turn off Kit's scanners. We don't see that anywhere.
We don't even see it at all.
We don't see it anywhere, but yet his scanners are turned off.
Yeah.
When Michael says, look, his scanners, you know, something's wrong here. And it takes Bonnie, he convinces Bonnie to look, and Bonnie's like, oh, wait a second. His scanners have been revised. They've been turned off.
Yeah.
When he says it beforehand the other two times, Bonnie's like, oh, no, it's nothing important, you know. And she's like, it's a malfunction or anything. And it's like, okay, you really don't see this? There's a problem here?
There's a very huge problem there at all, and it's like...
And that's why I said it's logic. I'm like, you don't see, you know...
Yeah, you don't see anything. Like, normally when something happens to a car in general in any movie or television show, you usually see some shadowy figure going up to the car. But again, We didn't see that scene at all. Didn't see that scene, And again, it's not like it was something to where... It's not like what we had last week in Killer Kit, where someone impersonated one of the Foundation staff and got into Kit and turned it off manually. It was just... It's so strange.
Right. It just suddenly happened.
Yeah. But overall, this episode's pretty cool. I think it's because of the whole magic thing. Like I said before, I've never really been into magic.
You weren't
magic
really into that as a kid?
Yeah, not really. But as it got going, and as we kind of saw what the plot was and everything else, and I thought it was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts before we move on?
No, not really. I think this is good. If you're not into magic, This is still a good episode to watch.
All right, we're going to move on to the next one.
When they asked what was the greatest fight of this century, every voice was shouting in unison, the battle in view!
I think he's fighting because he believes it killed a man.
Get them! Get them now!
Make sure you can fight as well as you talk.
They're going to forget about the rumble in the jungle. They're going to forget about the thriller in Manila.
The flood control systems are being purged.
Give me everything you got!
I want to be excited. Excitement, excitement!
Michael, look out!
And finally, up today is Redemption of a Champion. Former heavyweight champ Ken H. Norton plays a battered boxer who comes out of retirement for a fight that could kill him. Jerry Quarry, who was KO'd by Norton in 1975, and promoter Don King have cameos.
Say what?
Yep.
Where?
What do you mean, where?
I didn't see either one of them.
They're in there. Huh. Don King was the one that was at the press conference, the black guy with the big white hair.
Oh, okay, that was him?
Yeah, it was Don King.
That's funny.
When he was promoting the fight and talking about, oh, the
battle in Butte or whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was him? I did not know that was him.
Yeah, that was Don King.
Wow.
Yeah. This episode is just kind of generic for me. It's not good. It's not amazing. It's not awesome. But at the same time, it's not.
It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it pretty much falls in the middle. It's not like... It's not your average everyday trucker episode. It's not your average everyday, you know, carnival saving episode. It's, you know, it's just kind of in the middle. And, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was. And I thought it was cool. But overall, it's not one I would probably go back. Like when I think of Knight Rider, Redemption of a Champion is not the first episode that I would watch.
Nah.
What about you? Any thoughts on the plot?
The plot was good. I do find this very interesting that a deaf gentleman is feeding the Foundation information.
Oh, yeah. Leland.
Damon Leland. At the very beginning, obviously, before he's killed, because you see someone sneak into Leland's house as he's watching the video. And he's talking to Devin, and someone kills him, but he doesn't see that because he can't hear.
Yeah.
So he has no idea someone's sneaking up on him.
Yeah.
But like you, I wouldn't go back and watch this over and over again. Sure, I'd watch it, but it wouldn't be in my top 10.
Yeah, no, not at all. All right, we're going to get to the scanners.
I'm telling you, it was murder.
Damon was talking to me. He was working on a boxing story, something to do with the ex-champ Keeler.
Kit's broken down the components of the smell he picked up on his old factory scan. It's a mixture of natural gas and avec moi, a perfume.
Expensive, but not uncommon.
How could a perfume cause an explosion?
Avec moi. Well, I knew this girl used to bathe in it. It's like walking through a field of violets.
I could think of worse smells.
Bonnie, Leland mentioned Samuel's death. What did you get on the rundown?
Very little.
Let's turn these scanners on. Yo, Adrian! The whole time watching this episode, I was waiting for the Rocky theme, especially when they're running in the viaduct. I was just waiting for the Rocky theme to play in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
But it didn't happen.
No. Splish, splash, taking a bath.
Oh, God!
I guess Kit got his water wings back for season two.
Without April's help.
Yes, without April's help. Like I said in the plot, I like this one, but there isn't even this isn't like Killer Kit where Evil Kit is harassing the crossing guard, or this isn't like hey, Mickey, you know, this isn't like that. There's no real Kit moment in this episode. He's not interacting with any kids. He's not interacting with any, yeah, that's the other thing we didn't mention, about Deadly Nightshade. Kit and the Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But it's like, this episode, Kit's like, he's pretty much a non-character.
Yeah, it's almost like they kind of cut him out of this one.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Anything you liked or didn't like about this one?
it's almost kind of like they, you know, Davis, the guy who played Davis, he was out, you know, for himself. Mm. He's, you know, he's wanting, you know, Grant and the other guy to get back in the ring just so he can make some serious money.
Yeah.
And, you know, Keeler thinks that he killed a guy. When in fact, no, he didn't. It actually took the foundation to find out, you didn't kill anybody. You know, Davis just used you to cover his tracks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't really like that particular deal too well. I think it was a plot. I think it was a plot within a plot, almost.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, because the whole point was, they kept saying throughout the whole episode, why is he doing this rematch? He doesn't need, you know, Michael even points it out. Why is he doing this rematch? He doesn't need to. You guys have $2 million in investments. And I'm thinking, $2 million in 80s standards compared to, that would be like $20 million.
Right.
You know, I'm no math genius, and that's probably a wrong, but you'd think about it, $2 million in the 80s.
That's pretty high.
Close, yeah, that's pretty friggin' high. And you would think that by now, in 2013, that would be something like $25 million, maybe $30 million, somewhere around there. So, I mean, these people weren't...
They weren't poor.
Struggling. Yeah, they weren't struggling financially. I think it was more so... It's an emotional struggle because, as we said, he thought he killed somebody, and this, that, and the other thing, and he's fighting because he needs to prove something, to himself and to others. But overall, I mean, I really can't, like, this isn't an episode I can outright hate. This is no Forget Me Not. This is no Race for Life. This is no.
I knew you were going there. I was waiting for the Race for Life moment.
You know,
but no, I understand what you're saying, though.
I mean, this is an episode that falls in the middle, as we said before. So,
well, and, I think the other thing too is, if you remember right, you know, Keeler's wife says, you know, I try to ask Keeler, you know, my husband, these questions of why are you doing this? We, you know.
Yeah,
and things like that, and he just won't give me an answer.
Yeah.
So it's up to Michael to try and talk some sense into him.
Yeah.
So
exactly. All right. Well, that's a pretty short episode this week since we're only doing two episodes in this podcast. But that's gonna do it for us. We're gonna head to a quick break. Here's some other audio, some other ads from other stuff we got coming up over at Geekcast Radio Network. You're also going to hear Dion's Scent of Roses, and we'll be back to close the show after this.
I ain't your pal.
Coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd is GrandCon Gaming and Comics Convention, presented by Celebration Cinemas. Join us in playing or chatting it up with fellow enthusiasts in a community that understands your passions. Get lost in the adventure of your favorite role-playing game. Admire costumes and art from vendors and attendees. Meet the creators behind your favorite mainstream and independent games and comic books. Check out unpublished games and sneak peek at things to come. You can get all this and more at GrandCon. For more information, please visit www.grand-con.com.
50 years ago, a little old man brought his little blue box to a junkyard, and now, Doctor Who is a cultural phenomenon worldwide. Join the Geekcast Radio Network and Mark Who 42's Whoniverse as we review Doctor Who episodes past and present, discuss the Doctor's friends and enemies, see where the Doctor's been, where he is, and where he's going. Sit back and grab a jelly baby and join Mark Who 42's Whoniverse. It's the ride of this and every other lifetime.
Fantastic.
Allons-y.
Hey, this is the Music Man 08, one of the co-hosts of the Knight Rider podcast heard on Geekcast Radio. Do you like variety? Would you like to hear variety out of the clear blue sky? Then head on over to www.sky106.net and hear just that. Not only that, send us feedback if you have a show request.
Or, if you think you have what it takes, fill out the application page to become a DJ. You can also add us to Twitter and MSN. Once again, the website to visit for all of this and more is www.sky106.net.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
We are back. Let's go ahead and rank these episodes. For me, Deadly Nightshade, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. Kit Cars, I thought it was good. Even though I wasn't really into the magic thing, the story kind of carried me after a while, and you know, I thought it was pretty good. It's not a perfect episode, but it's good.
I gotta give it a 4.
Yeah, yeah. And Redemption of a Champion, I'm gonna give it 3. Like we said, it's middle ground. It's not, you know, and I know people will say, oh, well, a 2.5 out of a 5 scale would be middle ground, but...
No.
Yeah.
I got to give it a 3.
Yeah, 3 for us is middle ground mm-hmm. here on the podcast, so... yeah.
And folks, I'm still going to bask in my glory from last week. I don't care.
Fuck you. Thank you for joining us here on Beyond the Night. Yeah. So get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on each and every episode post. Email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @BeyondTheNight is the show Twitter. Mine is TFGM Mike. What is your Twitter?
It is TheMusicMan08.
Become a fan of us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the story you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Night. We'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing 3 more episodes from Night Rider Classic Season 4, those being Night of a Thousand Devils,
Meh,
Hoff, Hills on Fire, Hoff.
Oh my God!
and Night Flight to Freedom. For now, I am DFG and Mike with
The Music Man 08.
Kit, close the show.
I believe that's 3, Michael, counting your assistant.
Yeah, you gotta give Kit his moment in the spotlight, too. You know, you're right, RC. Kit, since Templeton is history, we got an unemployed tiger on our hands.
On second thought, Michael, I think the only magic I'll perform is a disappearing act.
Whoa! Kit! Kit!